Good morning, everybody. I hope you enjoy the worship that we had this morning. Yeah, I'm not used to stand in front of people, but thank you for the Lord that uses me so now and then. It's now a year later. I preached this time of the year when the people goes to Flutbos, and now I'm preaching again. So I am the Flutbos preacher. Okay, yeah, a little bit nervous, but I hope what the Lord is going to do through me will be a blessing unto you. So let us pray. Father, thank you for another willing vessel, Father, that you want to use to bring your word. Father, not my will, but your will be done. And I hope that every heart will receive your word this morning, Father, and it will be pleasant unto them. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Now, my topic this morning is complications on your way to freedom. Now, as I look at the congregation this morning, there's a lot of us that wants to be free. Not only free from your addiction, but free from a lot of things. But some of us are struggling to become free. And this morning, I want especially the word of the Lord to give you a clear picture of what makes us struggle to become free. And my message come out of John 8, verse 31 to 58. But before I started with the message, I just want to give you a background what happens in John 7 and in John 6. That was the Feast of the Tabernacle. And what happens is Jesus was teaching the people, the Jewish people, and some of them was not interested in what he was speaking of. And so that they want to kill him. And Jesus have to hide sometimes, and he have to walk some round corners, because why? He can't walk straight and clearly to the people and speak the word. And while he was teaching the word, some of them come to him with a woman and said, this woman, they caught in adultery, and because the law of Moses told us that when we caught someone in adultery, we must stone this person. Teacher, what are you going to do? So they tested Jesus around every corner. And for me, it's so interesting that Jesus never backed away. He never said, okay, that is that and that is that. Jesus always start to speak the truth. And even his brothers, they don't believe in him also. They said, why are you doing things in the secret? Why don't you go up to the feast and show yourself to the people? And if it was me and everybody is against me, then I will back off and I said, no, I'm going home. I'm not going to speak or teach people anymore. But that was, Jesus was not an ordinary person. Jesus was more than we can think of. And that is why I'm going to stand still. John 8, verse 31. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold onto my word, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. Now, we as human beings thought that when I am born again, then I'm Jesus' disciple. We are not staying in the word. We accept, okay, I'm born again, I'm okay, and that is fine with me. But the word said, you must abide in my word. You must hold on to my teaching. Why? Because Jesus is the word. If you know the word, you will know Jesus. And if you know Jesus, you will become free. So, but before you can become free, you must know the truth. And what is this truth that Jesus speaks of? In modern days, truth is, how does technology work? Truth is, how is my life? But the truth Jesus speaks of is the truth of the gospel. If you know the gospel, you know what to do. If you don't know the gospel, you don't know what to do. So if you understand the truth, you must understand the word of God. But there is two types of truth that we must understand. The first one is absolute truth. Absolute truth is the truth regardless of how a person thinks or feels about it. If I tell you Jesus is Lord, will that be absolute truth? You can argue about it. You can debate about it. It still is the truth. But there's another one, and that is relative truth. Relative truth is the belief that truth changes based on the individual understanding of it. With relative truth, there is no absolute, and what may be true for you is simply not true for me. Now, there's a lot of colors inside here. Ons mense have to say, they've got a saying, if they want something from you, want to borrow something from you, or they need something from you. As true as God above my head, I'm telling the truth. That is relative truth. That is not absolute truth. Because they only need the item of the money or whatever. As true as God sits above my head, I'm telling you the truth. Yeah, relative truth is a rejection of absolute truth. You see, if you understand the truth, you will know it. And you will know when a person is lying to you. In the parking areas, you will meet a lot of people that is begging. Every year, just before Christmas, there's an Indian guy. We met him in the park now and again. He's stuck on the main road. He needs money to go to Durban. Every year, the same guy. And I told him the last time, but I know you. It's the same story. So now he starts to believe that he's speaking the truth. And that is not the truth. I mean, a lot of you have met some people that do the same stuff to you. But truth has also characteristics, if you know the truth. The truth is constant. It does not change. Circumstances may change, but the truth surrounding the circumstances must remain constant, or you are not dealing with the truth. You cannot make up the truth. You cannot lie to a person and think that you speak the truth. Truth is constant. The Bible is the truth. The Word of God is constant. It doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is constant truth. But truth is also objective. It plays no favorites. The same truth must be applicable to everyone. It must not change from person to person. Then it's no longer the truth. Romans 3 verses 3. Because why? I can't tell this lady one story and her husband another story. It will not work. Some of you are going to find out somebody's lying to somebody. So if I speak to you, I must speak the same as I speak to him. Then two of you will understand that it is the truth. I have nothing to do when people talk about a dream. Dreams are from God. But I've got a pastor, the previous church. He said, you must not believe in every dream because the devil also gives you a dream. So you must go and find out of the dream that you have, is the truth or not. Don't accept every dream as the truth. Romans 3 verse 3, what if some were unfaithful? Will their unfaithfulness nullify God's faithfulness? Truth is objective. It plays no favorites. Then the last one. Truth will prevail. It will be standing till the end. The word of God will stand till the end. As Christians, we believe to defend the truth. But at the end of the day, the truth will defend itself. When you are in an argument with somebody about the Word of God, everybody has his own opinion of how he sees God's Word. But what the Bible explained to us and give to us will stand till the end. It is our human opinion that let us feel that we are right. Okay? But where two or three people gather and they have the same opinion about the truth, then I think that truth is reliable. Okay? Toba Beta said, truth is eternal, unchanging. Those circumstances may and do operate to give a different color to it. In our view, at different times, and truth will prevail, and those who do not yield to it must be destroyed by it. So as jy nie by die waarheid gaan hou nie, gaan die waarheid jou vernietig. En kyk maar net, as ek so kyk in Groendal, if I look down in our valley, there's a lot of preachers that has preached a word in Groendal. Many, many years. And a lot of those people was in the services that happens. There was tents that was putting up in Groendal. There was campaigns that happened in Groendal. But still, the same people that was sitting under God's word is the same people that is begging now on the streets. Because people don't want to hear the truth. And here the word said that the truth will set you free. God's answer to our loss of freedom has always been Jesus Christ. The lady, when they find a quarter in adultery, and when Jesus wrote on the ground, and after the second time when he stand up, he asked her, where are these people? He said, they are gone. He said to her, go now and live your life of sin. You see, if we don't leave sin, sin will destroy us. And it's terrible to see how our nation are destroyed by sin. You see, Jesus came to free us from death, sin, and anything that enslaves us. Faith in Jesus frees us from the death and we deserve for sinning against God. And I don't have to preach about that because every Sunday, pastor is preaching about it. Every preach is about sinning and what is the ultimate outcome if you keep on sinning. But here in John 8 verse 35, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And the Pharisees and the Jews asked Jesus, how can you say that we are a slave to sin? We are no slaves. It's sometimes you even don't know that you are a slave of something. I'm going to stand on tones now, Jesus. The cell phone. I was working as a manager at the pack house in Van Azouk Fruit Packers. And one of the rules is you must not use your cell phone during working hours. But as I walk and do inspection and see that the people doing their work, I constantly find people on their cell phones. And when you call them, they say, I'm Johnny, I'm just looking for the time. I said, no, you don't know how long I stand behind you. But that cell phone is disturbing you. Not only in your workplace, but when people are in restaurants, husband and wife, some of them are on the cell phone sitting, but they must say to one another, that is your special time. Put your cell phone in your pocket. Because why? You are a slave to that one. It don't speak. Cell phones can destroy privacy. It can destroy commitment. and it can destroy relationships. So be aware of your cell phone. Number, God gives us freedom to choose our own path. Now, we have a free will to accept or to reject His salvation. Ons het 'n vrye wil. Ons kan dit aanvaar of ons kan dit los. To be free, you must accept or you must reject. Now, if you are moving to destruction, you cannot blame God when it strikes you, because you have chosen to walk that road. God gives us a free will. At the end of the day, the will that you take and will decide your destiny. You cannot blame God for that. That's why God is the only one that is free from that decision. It's your decision. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Do not use your freedom for the flesh. Ons is vry soos as jy sê. Jesus het klaar gesterf. He already died so that we can become free. Don't use your freedom for this world. This world is nothing for us. It only destroys us. What stops us to become free? John 8, verse 33. They answered him, we are offsprings of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Now, the Pharisees or the Jewish people, they only know what they should know. That is what they learn. That is what their family give them and their fathers told them. Sometimes we became ignorant because we have chosen not to learn something we need to know. Jesus wants to show them something. He wants to teach them something. But they are ignorant to learn something. Now, ignorance is one of the things that stops us from becoming free. God commands us to repent of our ignorance and seek Him with all our hearts. Ignorance. Acts 17, verse 13 say, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now He commands all people everywhere to repent. So the first one that stops us from becoming free is ignorance. Mense wat onkundig is. Ignorant people believe that they deserve all the attention and respect from everyone else. It's all about them. They are the center of everything. They want to control everything, every person. Their opinion tells not yours. That is an ignorant person. The second one is in John 2, verse 39. When Jesus talked about the Father, and they replied to Him, Abram is our father, they said. And that one are called arrogance. Hulle is arrogant, verwaand. En jy kry sulke mense. You come across a lot of people that are arrogant. Arrogance is nothing more than an overt display of one's sense of self-importance. Ek is belangrik. Not you. I know more than you know. So don't tell me anything. That is a person that is arrogant. Where the world pushes us to strive to reach the top, Jesus commands us to be different. You see, an arrogant person wants to be the big boss. You can tell him everything. He won't listen to you. It's only his opinion that is very important to himself. Luke 14, verse 11. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and who he humbles himself will be exalted. So that is what Jesus wants us to be. Ons moet nederig wees, mense. Don't be, or don't try to be a boss over everything. God gives us two promises for the arrogant person. The arrogant will be punished, according to Isaiah 13, verse 11. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty and will humble the pride of the ruthless. Jesus will punish the arrogant person. So that is the second complication that stops us from becoming free. He blessed the poor in spirit. 1 Peter verse 5. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. God, I can't say he don't like the arrogant people, but God don't work with arrogant person. He don't work with it. If you are humble, he can do more through you than through an arrogant person. Psalm 75 verse 4, to the arrogant I say, boast no more, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. So we must not boast in ourselves when we are arrogant. God don't like it. The third one is reluctance. Teensinnigheid. Jy wil nie doen wat jy moet doen nie. You don't want to do what you're supposed to do. John 8 verse 41. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children. They protested. The only father we have is God himself. This is the interesting passage that I've read so far. First of all, they tell Jesus that God is not your father. That is what they told Jesus. And afterwards, they said that God is their father. But now, Jesus is still speaking to them. Now, what is so interesting is Jesus is demonstrating how wisdom can silence reasoning. They reason with Jesus about their father. But Jesus' wisdom, or the truth that Jesus speaks, starts to make them uncomfortable. And when they want to put Jesus in a position, Jesus turns it around and put them in a position. And what happens if we are confronted by the truth? We started to get angry. When you confront people with the truth, they started to get angry. And now Jesus and the Jewish people are in this conversation. Jesus twisted their accusations against themselves, and it was that provoked the reaction that they gave Jesus. No, they said. They protest against God because they told Jesus, God is not your father, God is our father. But if God is their father, why do they want to kill Jesus? If they know the truth, they would have listened to Jesus. But because people only want to hear what they want to hear. Wanneer iemand met jou praat, a person is speaking to you and you don't want to hear anything, you only want to hear what you want to hear. And that is what happened here. While Jesus was trying to explain to them who he is and who his father is, they only want to hear what they want to hear. And I have called this whole conversation in John 8:31 to 58 is the hour of recognition. You can name the hour of what did I call it? The hour of recognition where Jesus is, or the hour of what is the one? Okay, I will come to that later. I call it a name. Okay, I will come later to that, but I call it something because Jesus tries to explain to them who he is, who his father is, so that they can know the truth. But still people, or they don't want to know the truth. And now they are in this conversation with Jesus where they started to get angry because Jesus' wisdom is overturning their accusations now. Our heritage has nothing to do with our salvation. We are offsprings of Abraham. That doesn't say that you will be saved because you are an offspring of Abraham. It's only when you are in Jesus Christ that you will be saved. Our inheritance must not be our option to salvation. Jesus Christ, our salvation is embodied in Jesus Christ, not in our inheritance. It is our personal faith in Christ that forms a new relationship that makes us acceptable in God's eyes. You see, the Jews and the Pharisees thought that what they know is enough for them to become Christians. It's enough for them to show the world that they are supposed to be the ones that knows everything. But when Jesus comes on the scene, he changes their mindset. He changes their upbringing. He changes the perception of who God is. They are waiting for the Son of God to appear. But the Son of God is in their midst, telling them the truth, and they do not recognize him. The last one is complacency, state of being pleased. In complacency, these Jewish people are in a dangerous condition because spiritually they are not in the right place. Geestelijk was hulle nie op die regte plek gewees nie. And that is the dangerous with all of us. If we are not spiritual in the right place, we are surrounded by dangerous things. And those things can affect our walk with God. And if we are not aware of these things, it can destroy us. The one thing that is linked to complacency is lukewarmness. One day you are hot for God, and the next day you are cold for God. That is lukewarmness. And lukewarmness is the greatest sin that you can ever have. Lukewarmness is a spiritual condition that Jesus can't stand. You either are cold, or you either are hot. But lukewarmness is not the one that you must be in. Warnings of complacency is we view ourselves higher than what God determines to be true. As when we think we are doing the right stuff, but we are doing it not. Like the Jewish people. They thought they are on the right track, but they are not doing what the Bible said they must do. You see, in every congregation, there is a set of rules that people must obey. And if you are not walking according to those rules, then you will be punished. It's the same in the Jewish tradition. They've got a set of rules, and if you are not obeying those rules, you will be punished. But they are also the one that breaks their own rules. And now they thought that they are correct. Even in our householding, we set rules for our children, we set the rules for ourselves, but we also break it. A child can break a rule easily. And mama and papa is so humble, okay, this time but not next time. If you are not staying with your rules, you are not learning your child. She must know what is right and what is wrong. If you break it every time, you confuse that person. And here, Jesus wants the Pharisees and the Jewish people to know the truth. He just wants to save their lives so that they don't go to hell. He wants them to come on the right track, to focus on him, to see the truth in him. We all live in an attitude of self-sufficiency. I can handle life and what it brings to me. That is it. That is how we live. Every day you trust in your own ability. Every day you live your own life as if God is not there, if Jesus is not there. But when troubles come, we know where Jesus is. We know where to run to. We sometimes believe that dependence on God is a dream. No, I did try, I pray, and nothing comes to pass, and I ask God, and I ask Jesus, and I ask my friends, but nobody listens to me. Now you back off, because you don't want to believe in Jesus Christ. You know, our faith is being tested every day of our lives, in your work environment, school environment, home environment, your faith is tested every day. If you are on the road, especially in holidays, or even from here to Paul, you work in Paul, you stay in France, you go on the road, you must pray. Your faith must be in Jesus Christ. Anything is possible from here to Paul. And if you don't trust the Lord, and something happened, and God didn't protect you, you're going to blame somebody or someone. Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. We don't have the ability to lead our life. Only Jesus has. When we open our eyes in the morning, we must trust God for the day. When we want a project to be come into agreement, we must trust God for it, not our own ability. Are you comfortable in the way you are? Is jy gemaklik met die lewe waarin jy is? Is jy op die regte plek? Are you satisfied with who you are in Christ? Are you satisfied with the way things work in your life? When we align ourselves too closely to the pattern of this world, we stop thinking and we become critical. This world can easily assault us. It can easily crawl us. It can easily move us from one position to another position. If we are not anchored in Christ, we're going to lose focus. We're going to lose thinking. We are not reasonable enough. We are not reasoned enough about Christ. If things go wrong, especially in a household, the wife will blame the husband or the husband will blame the wife. We don't go on our knees and ask God for a solution. We always criticize one another. That's why I ask you the question, are you comfortable in the way you are living? Those Pharisees was not comfortable when Jesus was speaking to them. If we are too settled, we no longer strive for the kingdom of God. As jy tevrede is met waar jy is, if you are settled, you no longer strive for the kingdom of God. Because you are satisfied with your position. Satisfied with the stuff you had in your life. Satisfied with the house, your work, your children. And you put the kingdom of God aside. But the word says, first seek the kingdom of God. And everything else will be added. Another one that we must be careful of. We are sometimes spiritually satisfied. Jesus saved us. But we don't deserve a life with him. Or we don't desire a life with him. You see, as jy klaar gered is, is dit, you are finished with God. I will come to church when I want to. I will read the Bible if I want to. So you are no longer interested in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We live like forgiveness of sin is a one-time transaction. Jesus has forgave me. So now I can live my life. Our prayers are no longer effective to demolish spiritual forces. So we do that 5 minutes running prayer. And then we think that that will be effective to what we ever want it to be. Our faith is about who goes to heaven when they die. It's not about Jesus anymore. The question again, are you satisfied with the way you are living? In conclusion, hold on to your faith. Your life depends on it. Just like Jesus wanted Pharisees and the Jews to believe their faith in him. Love is oneness with Jesus because there is a danger if we no longer have intimacy with him, no longer part of his purpose, and no longer prepared for the future. If you now remember this, and I think Pastor Graham will agree. Jesus is coming back. You can argue about it. You can debate about it. Jesus is coming back. And if you are not ready, you will not deserve the place that He prepared for you. Live your life in faith. Don't depend on the world. Don't depend on your knowledge. Depend on Jesus Christ. He's the only solution in this cruel world. Things are not going to become better if we don't pray unto God. Start to believe that He is, and He will do what His words say He will do. Amen.